We know enough about our climate problem to know that it's serious and that we need to get started right away.
What we're seeing right now is a clear loading of the weather dice.
The water rose to the eaves of Kimberly Corbett's home in Denham Springs last August. She gutted the 2,000-square-foot house, but saved one wall so she would continue to see the 7-foot-high water line.
It shows me what I want to fight for.
That's WWL-TV in New Orleans describing flood damage as homeowners try and rebuild, even as they discover that many insurance companies won't pay the full cost. Good afternoon. I'm Stephen John, NPR Chief Meteorologist. Paul Huttner joins me with this week's ClimateCast. Welcome back, Paul.
Hey, Stephen. Good to talk to you. You know, as climate change effects unfold right before our eyes, one thing is becoming clear. A warmer atmosphere capable of holding more water vapor is producing more of these extreme rainfall events like we saw in Louisiana and Texas last summer. You combine that with sea level rise and storms like Hurricane Sandy, and you have an insurance landscape with climate risk increasing faster than many can adapt. A new piece in Yale Environment 360 claims the National Flood Insurance Program that would help homeowners rebuild after storms is in big trouble. The program is already $25 billion in debt. Thousands of Minnesotans pay into that program every year, but most of those payouts go to pay for coastal floods. I asked Rutgers University Earth and Planetary Sciences Professor Bob Koop some specifics about how climate change induced sea level rises are accelerating flood damages on the coasts.
Well, along the east coast of the U.S., we experienced about a foot of sea level rise in the 20th century due to a combination of both global average sea level rise and factors local to the coast, particularly sort of the way the land is sinking in response to the end of the last ice age. And as the land sinks and the oceans rise, it becomes easier for both tides and storms to flood inland. If you have a foot of sea level rise, that's a foot less of storm surge you need to cause the same amount of flooding that would have required an extra foot previously.
Let's talk about Superstorm Sandy, because that's, of course, the last big event along the northeastern United States. I saw a study, Bob, that said an extra foot of sea level rise caused an additional 100,000 homes to be flooded. Does that number make sense from your perspective?
It does. People are very densely populated in our region, particularly in New York City. A foot can make a big difference.
And how do we quantify that cost, an extra foot of sea level rise in a storm like Sandy?
Well, the way you can do it is sort of look at what's exposed and look at what would have been exposed had that foot not occurred. So we tend to do this more looking forward. So, you know, there are companies who consult with insurance agencies to look at flood risk in, say, the current season. So looking at how likely there are to be storms in the current season, what's exposed, and so forth. We did a study a few years ago now with one of those companies, RMS, in which they incorporated sea level rise into their model looking forward and looked at how the effects of sea level rise increased the frequency of storms of different types and damages across the U.S. coastline.
You know, Bob, on ClimateCast, I analyze current and near-future climate trends a lot on this show because I think most people still don't see what may be coming. And I'm seriously concerned about what I see developing here. It seems like the best-case scenario is we can manage what ends up being slow change and minor economic consequences for a while along the coast. I happen to think that's not the most likely scenario, but I know you study sea level rise and the economics of climate change. What's the most likely and worst case scenarios here? I guess how big of a downside on coastal real estate and infrastructure is there, and could this reach sort of bigger economic shockwave levels if the perfect storm happens?
Well, so I think there's a lot embedded in that question. So let's pick it apart. So one, to think about sea level rise. If you look at sea level rise, say along the coast of New Jersey, we're probably looking at about 1 to 2 feet of sea level rise between the start of this century and the middle of this century. So roughly twice to four times faster than happened in the last century here. To 2050, those numbers are not very much affected by how much more greenhouse gases we emit. And the uncertainty in them is relatively modest. But when we look beyond 2050, there's a lot of different possible futures. How much we emit may have a very large impact. Our understanding of how ice sheets behave is still evolving. And how unlucky we turn out to be with the physics of ice sheets may have a big impact. So sort of our current middle-of-the-road best estimate for sea level rise in New Jersey over the course of this century is roughly, say, 2 to 3 feet or 2 to 4 feet under a low-emission scenario, maybe 2.5 to 5 feet under a high-emission scenario. But if Antarctica ends up turning unstable, which it's potentially quite likely to do under a high emissions future, you know, numbers more like 7 feet in the course of the century, possibly even higher, are not out of the question. So that's the long-term trend, right? And the one thing that will do is flood areas permanently. The other thing it does is provide a higher platform for storms. So you asked about the next big one, essentially, right, or its equivalent in terms of coastal storms. So it becomes much easier to have a devastating storm if you have a five-foot boost in the storm surge because the sea level is higher. And what that is going to look like, it's hard to say. You know, one of the other effects of rising seas is that minor flooding becomes more frequent. Your basement may flood. The roots may flood. And it may be that minor flooding becoming more frequent drives people to make decisions like moving a little bit away from the coast or adapting to the sea level rise, responding in other ways as much or more so than a single large event, which people can plausibly think right off as, you know, ill luck, a rare event, and then take the decision, well, we're going to rebuild. We're going to be, as Governor Christie said, stronger than the storm.
You know, I'm curious, as we look out the next 30 to 50 years or so, and with your contacts and your work, how much awareness do you think there is out there to what's really likely to happen in the next 30 to 50 years?
You know, I think on that sort of mid-century timescale, the idea of sort of 1 to 2 feet of sea level rise, I think that's starting to sink in. You see a number of municipalities here in New Jersey that are building in sort of 1 to 2 feet of freeboard into their elevation requirements, meaning essentially they want houses lifted above of the flood zone by that extra 1 to 2 feet. And that was also in the Obama administration's guidance to federal agencies. Longer term, you know, the more existential questions that happen if you're talking about 5 feet or 7 feet, I'm not sure that's sunk in the same way.
Bob Kopp with Rutgers University. Great perspective today. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Stephen, this could be very significant in some ways when we talk about Trump pulling out of the climate accords and not that significant in others. It's not a huge deal. The Paris Accords are voluntary. U.S. business not under any obligation to comply. And in the short term, it won't have a major atmospheric impact because emissions won't change dramatically. But it would be a big deal if the U.S. loses ground to China and other countries in renewable energies. 1 in 5 jobs created last year were in solar, Stephen. The question is, who will be the world's next clean technology superpower? And will that be the U.S. or other countries? I think it'll be the country that embraces the renewable energy boom, Stephen.
And as far as the coastal area conversation you had, that is going to only exacerbate going forward.
It will. And that's one of the big question marks in climate change is how fast are those sea levels going to rise and how much damage will future storms do? That's an economic wild card, Stephen.
Thanks, Paul Huttner, for this week's edition of the Climate Cast on Minnesota Public Radio News.
Thanks, Stephen.